People said, we keep going to movie theaters, and they keep showing us movies, when what we really want is a high-definition news quiz. And finally, we've decided we can't ignore the cries of America any longer. So here we are.
So is there anything different that you have to do since you're bringing this into theaters that you wouldn't be doing for the radio show?
Yes and no. The no part is that we do our radio show in front of a live audience every week, and we've played some very big houses, including, believe it or not, the Nokia Theater in L.A. with 5,000 people. So we're used to playing in front of crowds, although maybe not the hundreds of thousands we'll be playing in front of virtually, at least this weekend. Yes, in that we're adding some elements because, you know, it's the movies. Everybody loves the special effects. So for the first time ever, we're going to have a musical act, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. We're going to have some films to show. We're going to have a set for the first time. We've never had a set before. And we're going to have a very special guest. He's special squared. It's Steve Martin is going to be our guest.
Steve Martin, Sharon Jones,
yes,
and the Dap Kings. That's a pretty good lineup.
It's pretty awesome. You know, beat that, Conan O'Brien.
Now that Wait, Don't Tell Me is more than 15 years old, and it's one,
yes,
of NPR's most popular shows, I hate to even ask you this, but who's been your favorite guest? Do you have a favorite guest?
The guests I really love and remember so fondly, they tend to fall into one of two categories. One is people I loved when I was a kid and got a chance to finally interview and talk to and find out that they're just as delightful as I'd always hoped they would be, which is a really deeply gratifying experience. And in that category, I put people like Dick Van Dyke, Carrie Fisher, Cal Ripken in another category of people entirely sports heroes. Leonard Nimoy was just a great day, finally getting to meet him after being such a big Star Trek fan when I was a kid. I told him I had my, you know, Mr. Spock jacket when I was a kid. And the other category of favorite guests are people who you would not expect to be funny but really are. And weirdly, Barack Obama was actually in this category. We interviewed him when he was a fairly newly elected senator in Illinois, and he just killed. I mean, his charm was incredibly apparent at that time. But also people like Nico Case, the independent musician who came on our show and was just hilarious. Martha Stewart going along in that vein. She was great because she had such a sense of humor and about herself and was so funny and forthcoming. And recently, Al Gore came on the show. And I said to him, if he had shown the American public how charming and funny he could be, he would have been president.
So how much of your show is scripted and how much is improvisation?
Well, that's actually a good question because it's actually a mystery in that we work all week, myself and my colleagues, on writing this show. And we work very carefully, like a lot of, you know, your basic writer's room kind of thing. We try jokes, we cut jokes, we try to improve jokes, we draft it, we try again. We write right up until the showtime. So we have a script filled with questions and answers and jokes and comments. And then we throw it all at the wall. And we see what our panelists do with it. And then when we edit the show, usually we give preference, rightly so, to the stuff that the panelists and sometimes myself come up with spontaneously, because that's the stuff that really has life. So if you listen, even though we write the whole show, if you listen to the taped version, you know, the edited version that you'll hear in the weekend, it's almost half and half, prepared material and spontaneous material.
And then you have Carl Castle on the show.
What's
it like working with Carl Castle?
Oh, the man's a diva. He's terrible. He won't do anything I tell him. He shows up late and drunk for rehearsal. It's awful. But he's got such talent, we can't mind. No, that's not true. He's the nicest man in the world. He really is. I've never seen him get upset or angry. He's having a great time, and it's a pleasure to work with him all these years.
Over the years, you've had a lot of different jobs, everything from travel, writing, working for a motorcycle magazine. I know that you were an extra in a Michael Jackson video. So what would you be doing if you weren't hosting Wait, Don't Tell Me?
Probably sitting and listening to public radio and whoever was hosting the show and thinking, damn it, I could do that. Because that was, you know, I used to listen to public radio. I mean, my only qualification for being a public radio was I listened to public radio, NPR specifically, all the time, and sit there and go, I could do that. Completely falsely. I could never do Scott Simon's job, for example, in a million years. But nonetheless, I have that kind of arrogance. So I imagine I would do that. But I was supposed to be a writer. I was a playwright and screenwriter, and that's the career I was pursuing and would probably have continued to pursue it for better or for ill if this radio thing hadn't come along. Realistically, I'd probably be a staff writer on some TV show, and you never would have heard of me, and I'd be sitting around writing jokes for somebody else probably, or maybe, you know, attempting to make it big, still hoping that I get my big break in the entertainment industry. Hard to say.
So what was that moment like when NPR came to you and said, hey, because you started off being one of the panelists, and then
I did.
The next year you were the host of the show.
Well, I remember the phone conversation really vividly when the producer of the show at the time, a man named David Green, not the David Green you hear in NPR News, but a different one, called me up and said, so Peter, we're thinking about making a change. How would you like to be the host? And for an NPR fan like myself, to be offered to host a show on NPR, all I can say is be careful what you wish for, because sometimes fate hears it and gives it to you. And I had to make a decision. Is this what I want to do? And it's a decision that obviously changed my life. I thought I could do this as a day job while I continue my writing career. Well, no. Not going to happen. And, you know, it was a great thing. I've had this amazing career so far where I've gotten to do all these cool things and talk to all these cool people, and there's nothing to complain about. Yet, to quote Joe Walsh, sometimes I still do.
So you've never been to Idaho, right?
That is true.
That
in is fact,
true.
It is one of the three United States I have never been to. They are Idaho, North Dakota, and New Mexico.
So why haven't you been to Idaho?
I don't know. I've been near Idaho. I've been in western Montana, but I've never been to Idaho. I've been across the Bitterroot Range from Idaho. I can almost see it from where I was. But I can't tell you, I've never made it. It's just never come up. And I think that's foolish because, of course, Idaho is beautiful. Everybody knows this.
So you'd want to come here?
Oh, absolutely. Personally, you bet. Idaho, you bet. Fly fishing, cattle rustling, extremist militia membership. I'm there. Whatever you guys do, I'm for it.